Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Outdoor Connection. My guest this morning is Daryl Bauer. He's one of the senior fisheries biologists with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission and a homegrown hometown North Platte boy to start with, so he's got to be good. How's that, Daryl?
that's quite an introduction. I hope I live up to it.
Well, you do. I mean, you're a good guy. I've always appreciated you and the fact that you come on the show, and I really do place a lot of value on the fact that you grew up here in North Platte. So when we're talking places like Interstate Lakes and Lake Maloney, you know, you've been there, you've done that.
I've fished most of them, and I still get back and fish out there every chance I get. So,
well, I want to get you out here on the canal,
and that's God's country out there.
Amen. That's why I'm here.
you're a smart man.
I still want to get you out here and get on the canals with those Tenkara long jigging pole things of mine.
We used to ride our bikes down that canal two or three times a week all summer long and catch smallmouth. I never did it with a Tenkara rod, so yeah.
How many miles did you log on your bicycle to go fishing?
Between doing that and riding to the river to spear carp, we put a few miles on the old bicycle.
I was just writing an article the other day on a story about some people I know in Beatrice, where another one of my papers is, and them taking the grandkids out and always doing stuff in nature. And I made a reference. I said, you know, when I was growing up, my PlayStation was a creek and a bayou.
My brother
and I got dirty a lot. Of course.
Oh, yeah. So we were outside all the time. I mean, yeah, eventually the video games came around during my generation, but we were already hooked on being outside by then. And besides that, that's just what we did together as a family, too. So I don't know anything else. I couldn't even imagine not being outside hunting, fishing, or trapping.
Amen. Let's talk a little about the walleye collection that goes on all this time of year. I know that I think that's all wrapped up.
And, it is, yep.
Guys, you did so well, you didn't even have to come to McConaughey this year.
No, because you guys all know, winter held on for a long time.
Really?
Spring. And so ice out was later than it usually, in fact, as late as I ever remember this year. But I think what happened then is it just kind of compressed that spawning activity. So when the ice went out, the walleye spawn was on, and then our guys were out as soon as the ice was out, and they just sacked up the fish a couple nights at Sherman, and then I think we were at Merritt for four nights, and that was all it took to get all the eggs we needed to produce, all the walleyes we need to stock this year.
How many millions of eggs do you target to get? I mean, it's like 80 million eggs or something.
I'm looking at the spreadsheet right now. We collected over 1,100 quarts of walleye eggs this year, and that's somewhere north of 140 million walleye eggs.
Wow. You did do good.
We did. I mean, I kept expecting, you know, we were going to have to send the crews back out for an extra week, because we needed a lot of walleye eggs this year, but it was just phenomenal. The nets were full from the first night, and we like that because, honestly, we get in, we get what we need, we get out. The crews are back home then. They don't have to put in as much time and effort.
All right.
And we can kind of get out of the way if anglers want to be out there then, too. They don't have to worry about our nets in the water.
That's something that when they're at McConaughey, I usually have in a column. I'm cautioning people that if you see Game and Parks crews out there, steer clear, man.
Yeah.
They're trying to get out of the way as fast as possible.
And we really were this year.
Excellent. Excellent. Another thing I wanted to mention is that you're doing the egg collections, you're rearing in the different hatcheries, and then you put them back out. I don't think many people realize that without the efforts of the fisheries crews and what they do, we wouldn't have near the amount of fish to go after.
Yeah, we stock every year. We stock over 30 million fish in Nebraska waters. That's every year, somewhere around 30 different species of fish. And, you know, I say literally from one corner of Nebraska to the other, you know, it's usually somewhere around 200, 250 different waters that we stock fish in. And we do that every year. So
Right. We
got five state fish hatcheries in the state and excellent crews working in every one of them. So they do a crackerjack job of producing fish for us.
The guys here I get to talk to occasionally, and one of the things I always notice is not only do they do their job and they do it well, but they also have a passion for it too. And that tells a bigger story about how successful a program can be than just the numbers on the spreadsheet.
Yeah, I always tell people we don't get into the fish and wildlife field to get rich, to make money. All of us that are doing this are doing it because it's our passion.
Exactly.
So, yeah, most of us, now there's days like any job, but most of us love what we're doing. And we care about those resources. We love those resources. So our hearts are in it.
Well, I know you're passionate about it because I think I can only catch you in the office maybe six times a year.
I've got that reputation around the office here, too. This time of year is the worst because there's so much to be doing outdoors right now, and I just can't stand sitting here and looking out the window and seeing that it's a nice spring day out. I got to be out doing something.
It's a tough job, but somebody has to do it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Speaking of walleye, that's generally, you know, out here in this country, you know it. Walleye is king. Walleye is king, and largemouth bass is pretty close second on it, but
you bet. Yep.
Walleye comes first. Let's talk about early spring walleye fishing and what are some of the best super secret, never known to anybody else, Darryl Bauer tactics that you go for walleye.
Well, it might surprise some people. Yeah, and I've told you, I honestly don't own a boat, so I'm fishing from shore most of the time in a pair of waders. But it might surprise people to know that I usually don't spend much time, if any time, you know, fishing for those walleyes during the spawn. Now, you know, there's guys who like to take advantage of that. And believe me, I've seen some pictures of some big fish from McConaughey again this spring. So those anglers like to do that and can catch those fish fair and square, good for them. But I tell people, know this, those fish really aren't feeding while they're spawning. They got reproduction on their minds.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can wait a few weeks until the spawn's done, they'll start feeding again. And there's actually some really good fishing, you know, coming up here after the spawn. And that's why I like to get after them a little more than during the spawn period when it can be a little crowded out there on the dam.
And those bigger fish you see in the pictures are generally females, and they're full of eggs. So when you pull that out, you've just pulled out, you know, 100,000 more fish.
Possibly, yes. I'll tell you, Rick, we did an angler survey on the dam at McConaughey a year ago during the walleye spawn. And the big female, most anglers are releasing the big females.
Excellent.
I would have to have a picture, and most guys are getting a picture so they can still get a Master Angler Award, still could get a reproduction mount and all of that. They still have their trophy, but most of them are turning those big females loose, and that goes a long ways to maintaining the quality of our fishing and, in some cases, maintaining that brood stock.
Yep. We need to take a quick break, Darryl, but when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about walleye and then see if we can shift over to bass a little bit.
Sure, you bet.
Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking with Darryl Bauer this morning, fisheries biologist with the Nebraska Game and Parks Commission, and, of course, we're talking fishing. Darryl, I think you're probably one of the most recognizable names in fishing here in Nebraska. If people follow the Game and Parks and follow your blog, which, by the way, I love the title that you hung on that.
Oh, I can't take credit for that. Don Gablehouse, he's retired now, was our Fisheries Division administrator, head administrator, and that was his idea, was the title, and I'm honored that he let me use it.
Barbs and Backlashes.
Yep, I like it.
I saw a meme the other day. This guy had this bushel basket of fishing line in front of him, all unwound. And it says, when your buddy says he knows how to use a bait caster.
I've seen that meme. I've saved it. I've got it. I'm going to use it sometime. It'll come in handy. I know the feeling.
Uh-huh. I was at a outdoor writers convention thing one time, and there was a reel company there, and they had some super new engineering design that used a lot of magnets to, they said it was backlash proof.
Yeah.
And sure. I said, yeah, I said, really? And they said, yeah. And I said, give me the biggest lure you got. And they gave me some huge spoon, and I turned around and tossed it right into the wind. And I'd admit, I didn't get a lot of backlash, but we had to clear the reel.
The worst backlash I've ever had was hooking a bait in a weed behind me, and I didn't know it was hooked, and I went ahead and made the cast.
I can see this coming.
That was terrible. I was cutting that one out.
Yep, you're not a fisherman until you have to cut out.
Those pros do it every now and then, too. They just don't show you those occasions on TV.
That's right. You can cut for more video with that.
Right.
I learned that from Ralph Wall.
Yes. Yep, good old Ralph. Yep.
I nicknamed him One More Time.
I've been there. I know exactly why you gave him that nickname.
Is Ralph still around, or is he retired?
He's retired. He's probably someplace smoking a good cigar right now.
Yes. I was headed back to North Platte one time. I was coming from the eastern side of the state, and I was driving along. Kearney was going to be the next real town to stop in, and I looked up, and I saw this figure of a guy in a big Suburban and a cigar coming out the window every now and then. I was a half mile back, and I thought, that's got to be Ralph.
That's Ralph, yeah.
And I pulled up and saw the Game and Parks markings and got his attention, and we stopped and had dinner at what was the old Chicago there in Kearney for a while. But Ralph was a good guy.
He drops in and sees me every once in a while. So, yeah, he is a good guy. He did a lot of good work for us, too.
I got to reconnect with him because
he's the same old Ralph.
Well, that's good. He collected license plates.
He collected a little bit of everything. He's got a huge beer can collection, so get him started. He'll tell you about it.
I wonder if he's got Harley beer.
If anyone would have it, Ralph would have
I've got a six-pack of that somebody gave me one time because I was a Harley rider. And they gave it to me with the caveat that it's best left in the can.
Okay.
Because I'm not a beer drinker at all. But anyway, if Ralph needs some more cans, I'll give him that one.
So. He might. You never know. Some of those are worth some money. So you might have to see what he'd say about it.
Last time I heard, he was living down around Alma somewhere.
Yeah, he's still out. Kearney area is stomping grounds for him.
Okay.
So, yep.
I got to reconnect with him. He was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Off air and maybe when we're fishing sometimes, I got a couple good Ralph stories to tell you.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Ralph and Mark Nelson.
Oh, gosh. Mark was a good guy, too.
They told me one time that I think while they had Outdoor Nebraska TV, which I wish was still going, I think that was a major mistake when they cut that out of the budget. Personal opinion. But they said they had like 56 episodes, and of the 56, I was in 5 or 6, but I had a connection to like 40
that I believe that
helped them set up.
Yep.
But that was a fun show, and they were good guys to work with.
They were pretty much a 2-man crew on that show. Yeah. So they were busy guys when that was on the air.
Let me check with my engineer here. How much time we got left? 2 minutes. Okay, 2 minutes on bass, go.
Okay. You probably know where I'm going to go. I always tell people we got some great bass fishing in Nebraska. Our best bass habitats tend to be those smaller bodies of water.
Right.
Because of the water level fluctuations in our big reservoirs, that just isn't good for bass. So you guys in central Nebraska, you know where I'm going, those interstate lakes.
Yep.
Are just about every one of them's got largemouth bass in them. You can catch some big bass out of just about any of them. And I grew up fishing those lakes. I love fishing those lakes. And the beauty of them is if you're not catching something on one of them, you hop in the car and 5-10 miles down the road, you can be on another one. So there's some good bass fishing right there on those interstate lakes.
We do that every few years. I get together several guys, and those of us that have campers or motorhomes, we call it the I-80 fishing safari.
And I love it. That's a great idea.
And we'll go maybe as far east as Grand Island and start fishing there. And then work our way back. But you never know. We might, if you hit one lake and it's working, we don't move for the weekend.
Right. Yeah, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
That's
yeah.
Right. One last question. What's your best presentation for bass? What do you like to throw at them?
Well, on those interstate lakes, I always threw a lot of time or spent a lot of time throwing the minnow imitating crankbaits, the Rapalas, the Husky Jerks. I use those baits a lot.
Yep.
Late summer, especially you put on the top water, even on those interstate lakes, you can have a lot of fun with a top water of some kind.
You bet. Daryl, thank you for coming in today and talking with us. Appreciate you as always. Take care.
Love it, Rick. We'd always use our time up.
That's it for this week, folks. We'll see you next time on another edition of the Outdoor Connection.